Hi, everybody.
I'm signaling you from down here, okay?
I'm Cindy Pearson from National Women's Health Network. I'm going to follow an APHA tradition and do the financial disclosure, even though I don't have a slide for it, because I'm really proud to do it. The network, by choice, does not take money from pharmaceutical companies, medical device manufacturers, or insurance companies. So I have no financial conflicts of interest or relationships to disclose. I've been invited to talk about fighting anti-abortion legislation in the states. We assume you all walked into this room with some amount of knowledge about the surge in anti-abortion legislation that's been introduced, passed, signed into laws. It's a threat to the provision of reproductive health services. It's an infringement on reproductive rights, and it is one of the ways in which we can recognize reproductive oppression, to use Carol's framework. I'm just going to briefly touch on the types of anti-abortion legislation and briefly touch on what is that connection to us as public health practitioners. That kind of legislation foments and worsens health disparities. But then I'm going to go to how can we fight and how can we win, because we need to. So briefly, coverage limitations, 32 states. Waiting periods, 26 states. State-mandated counseling, 17 states. State-mandated ultrasounds, whether or not they're medically necessary, 10 states. State-mandated minor parental notification or consent when a minor believes it's not in her best interest, 38 states. State-mandated medically unnecessary requirements for clinicians providing abortions, 14 states. And targeted regulation of abortion providers, rules that make clinics and doctor's offices have corridors of a certain width, exam rooms, certain number of parking spaces, 23 states have one sort or another. What happens when women, these restrictions work? They restrict. They make it less possible for women to get the abortion care that they need. So what happens? So some women do get the care they need. They overcome the difficulties, and for some of them, what it took to overcome the difficulty had an immediate financial impact. They didn't have the credit card. They weren't middle class. They didn't have a family that could pool the money together. So they scramble to pool that money together. Sometimes it's a short-term blip, but sometimes it has lasting consequences. Women end up with an eviction notice on their door and become unstably housed. There are financial consequences that lead to poorer health in the woman and her family. And some women are just plain turned away from the abortion care they need by that mixture of restrictions on funding, on gestation limits, on what a clinic has to do to survive, how many times a woman has to come. What happens when women are just turned away? So thanks to our wonderful colleagues at the, at the ANSWER, is their acronym, based at UC San Francisco, Advancing New Standards in Reproductive Health, they brought a progressive researcher's careful, caring lens to the experience of women who made it to a clinic but were turned away, and they enrolled over 700 women, and they carefully matched them to women of nearly the same gestational age in their pregnancy who sought and received the abortion that they needed at the same clinics. They will follow these women for 5 years. Preliminary findings were presented at APHA in 2012. Those findings found really short-term, 2 years, that's pretty fast, significant effects that you as public health practitioners will recognize immediately as widening and deepening health disparities. They found that women who were denied abortion care, turned away, were more likely to be receiving public assistance 2 years later. They were more likely to be living in poverty. And they were statistically significantly more likely to have experienced physical intimate partner violence. So as social justice advocates, as public health practitioners, we need to support efforts to oppose these anti-abortion legislative restrictions in the states. But the question for us, all of us who love data and love evidence, what works? What does work? There's many reasons this is wrong, but what works to fight it? So here's some successes that I group as successful, creative, abortion-specific efforts to defeat abortion restrictions. That can work. Doesn't always. We know a lot of this legislation has passed, but it sometimes can work. And I believe the examples of why it works are when the community responded with creativity and ways that built on the strength of the community affected. So, for example, the Colorado experience of defeating a personhood amendment just this month was led in large part by representatives of the Latina community. The Colorado Organization for Latina Opportunity and Reproductive Health, they insisted that the outreach and education campaigns be done in culturally competent ways. They had cafecitos. They insisted that messaging be bolstered by research in Latino-Latina communities and that every message, every ad, every bit of outreach have a Spanish language version as well as the English language version. They won resoundingly. 6 years ago, a similar effort won in California where they defeated a parental notification initiative. That's a tough one to defeat. You saw over 30 states have some sort of infringement on the decision-making of young women who need abortion care. Again, a coalition of women of color-led organizations did research to help them develop messages that built from the strength of those communities. They built from the respect for families' abilities to make good decisions and framed it as supporting the ability of families to make the decisions and keeping the intrusive state out of those decisions. They also worked with youth in a way that built to their strength. And finally, the last one example I want to give of this type of work where a creative abortion-specific response stops an attempt at abortion restriction was earlier this spring when a group of organizations defeated an attempted ban of Medicaid coverage for abortion in Minnesota. Again, a hard fight to win. Not only less than 20 states use their own state funds to cover abortion care in the Medicaid program. And that was accomplished through a coalition of organizations that brought together religious, reproductive health, reproductive rights, reproductive justice, and using a framework that evoked empathy, that didn't always center the messaging on rights, but worked with people to move them to feeling that they're in the woman's shoes and the empathy that draws out. However, much as I love those campaigns, I'm part of those campaigns, I'll pull up my wall, I'll show you my card-carrying membership in all these organizations, but what I think is most exciting are new models for working on abortion that have two things that are exciting about them. They are federal, state, local, and the decision making in these models is bi-directional. So sometimes it's just heaven sent when National sends you your packet of stuff and you get out there and you use the packet of stuff from National and it works. But sometimes local and state, particularly local and state groups that have come up from the community, they're grassroots, they're sustained by their community, their ideas are right for their community. So both of these models have that sort of bidirectionality, local, state. And one of them, the one I'm talking about first here that you see the slide of, is a model that embeds fighting against abortion restrictions within a broader effort. Raising Women's Voices for the Healthcare We Need is an initiative founded in 2006 by Billy Avery, Black Women's Health Imperative, by National Women's Health Network, and by the Merger Watch Project of Community Catalyst. We advocated for change on a federal level. We never, ever, ever shied away from our support for abortion care as part of comprehensive reproductive health care. But we fought all the fights. We fought for public the public option. We fought for the basic health program. We fought for all the things that are needed to make healthcare reform truly meet the needs of women and their families. So when the ACA passed in 2010 with language that invited more anti-abortion restrictions in the states, we had developed a network of regional coordinators, a relationship with pre-existing organizations, grassroots organizations in the states that work as Raising Women's Voices regional coordinators. And because of the credibility, the real authentic engagement with this broader work on health justice, in several states, regional coordinators were able to join state-based health coalitions, health justice, health reform, consumer health coalitions, and get them to engage with abortion for the first time. And in 11 states, that work played a role in defeating an attempt to restrict abortion coverage in the plans sold in the ACA marketplaces. And a little bit more behind the scenes, there was another way in which the ACA gave an invitation to anti-abortion activists to restrict coverage for abortion, which was by layering another burden on insurers that were happy to offer abortion coverage in their plans, but requiring through the Nelson Amendment a bunch of burdensome, stupid stuff. And it was just a tactic to get the insurers to be targeted by antis and just give up. And working sort of behind the scenes, again, this federal state bidirectionality helped us figure out how one group of activists made an insurance commissioner see the light and put all that burdensome stuff on the back end so it's less of a target for anti-abortion activity and streamlined to the extent possible while still following the law. That we were successful on in 8 states, and that makes a difference. There are a lot of states in which marketplace plans cover abortion care. We have expanded access to abortion coverage in the last couple of years because of that work. But I want to also tell you about another model, similarly local, state, federal, bidirectional, and it is a different strategy. It's not going broad. It's what I'm calling right now going deep. There's other ways we could call it. It's embracing the hardest part. It's going to the very first loss in this era. As Linda said, you know, when she went through her list of 8 ways in which the attacks have come, she started with the Hyde Amendment. That was the first loss. It was the biggest loss. It was the loss that the movement made only one strategic approach to win back. And it was a legal strategy based on the rights framework, and it failed. And for 38 years, this country that by majority, if the question's worded right, supports access to abortion care when it's needed, has allowed Congress to vote year after year after year after year. That is our primal wound as a movement. We have only lost more and more coverage since then, to the point where in 2010 we couldn't stop the loss of lack of federal intrusion into private coverage of abortion. We lost. Feds have intruded. And the way we are going to win that back is to go all the way deep and to talk about covering abortion care for women no matter where they work or how much they make. That is not going to be a fast fight to win, but the All Above All campaign is in it for the long haul. It's a coalition, top to bottom, broad, all kinds of groups. You can find out more online. What I want to talk about is how the heck do you design a campaign to start to undo what was lost 38 years ago? There's generations of members of Congress who have never had a, even, they're so scared of it now, sometimes they bury the vote. And they don't take, there's a generation of members of Congress who've never actually had a chance to vote against the Hyde Amendment because, specifically, because it's buried into the bigger budget bills. So we have to have, again, this multi-state, local, federal strategy. We need to identify, and we have, All Above All has started to identify federal champions who will speak up for the right of all women to have their abortion care covered. We have 8. I'll read their names. Quigley, Clark, Holmes Norton, DeLauro, Deutsch, Schakowsky, Ellison, Michaud. 8. It's small, but it's a start. But here's another number that's small, but really important. 5. We have 5 wins on the local level. Now, what can the local people do about abortion care coverage? Sometimes it's just a resolution. Sometimes it's a symbolic gesture. But these are 5 places where elected officials have read the following statement and raised their hands and said, I support. Calling on the United States Congress and President Obama to repeal all federal bans on public coverage of abortion and supporting efforts to improve access to public and private insurance coverage for comprehensive reproductive health care. Now, you all are smart. You've read that list in the time I've been talking, and you're like, yeah, right, Cindy. Okay, you got the most liberal cities in the country, so the heck what? So the heck what is those people have raised their hands and voted, I agree, to that statement and have not paid a political price. We start with those 5 wins, we go out to the next, and we get to a state, and we build up, while at the same time, so we're politicians showing politicians, you can take a pro-funding vote and not suffer the consequence, but we also have to build a base. And we have to build a base using clever messaging, and also a base that sees current leaders, that sees women that are not me, that are not Billy, that are not Kate Michelman, that are not Faye Waddleton, that are not Cecile, that are not, the people who've been around a long time, the people who sometimes slip up and say, well, if you don't remember before Roe, that they need to see current leadership, and through the All Above All campaign, they see current leaders. And the support is coming in from people who aren't like me with my dang card wallet full of card carrying member of this, member of that. So this is inspiring. This has potential. Both of these new models haven't turned the corner, but have started the journey. They're not necessarily the only models. And to be honest, I look forward to the day, just maybe 2 or 3 years from now, when I'm in the audience listening to one of you talking about another new model, because there's many ways we can, creative and effective ways we can do this work to fight anti-abortion restrictions on the state level. And in the meantime, I encourage you all to get connected. What I've talked about are allaboveall.org, coalition efforts, both of these things, raisingwomensvoices.net, and the organization I represent, National Women's Health Network, nwhn.org. So thank you for how much you care. Thank you for how much you already do. Take these ideas, let them percolate in your mind, and see what you can make happen, or support or give voice to in your community. We can turn this around. Thanks.
Thank you.